Chapter 7, The Final Solution. The German Policy and the Wannsee Conference. We have shown that the exterminations are a propaganda hoax, meaning we have shown what did not happen to the Jews. To complete our study, we should show what did, in fact, happen to the Jews. The problem of what happened to European Jews is a fairly easy one, if one wishes only a general answer, but a very difficult, indeed probably impossible problem, if one demands statistical accuracy. To answer the question in general, all one need do is consult the relevant German documents. What the German leaders were saying to each other about their policy is obviously the first authority one should consult. The general nature of German Jewish policy is very simple to discover. It is all set out in NMT Volume 13. The U.S. prosecution in the Wilhelmstrasse case presented a document, NG 2586, which consists of several parts, each part being some document important in the development of German Jewish policy. In fact, one part, NG 2586J, is a summary of the other parts and, thus, a handy summary of the policy. One can do no better than simply reproduce the text, a memo by Martin Luther, Horst Wagner's predecessor, dated August 21, 1942, quote, 1. The principle of the German Jewish policy after the seizure of power consisted in promoting with all means the Jewish emigration. For this purpose, in 1939, Field Marshal Goering, in his capacity as plenipotentiary for the four-year plan, established a Reich Central Office for Jewish Emigration, and the direction was given to SS Lieutenant General Heydrich, in his capacity as Chief of the Security Police. The Foreign Office is represented in the Committee of the Reich Central Office. The draft of a letter to this effect, to the Chief of the Security Police, was approved by the Reich Foreign Minister as 83/24B in February 1939. 2. The present war gives Germany the opportunity and also the duty of solving the Jewish problem in Europe. In consideration of the favorable course of the war against France, D3 proposed in July 1940 as a solution, the removal of all Jews from Europe, and the demanding of the island of Madagascar from France as a territory for the reception of the Jews. The Reich Foreign Minister has basically agreed to the beginning of the preliminary work for the deportation of the Jews from Europe. This should be done in close cooperation with the offices of the Reichsfuhrer SS, compare D3 240. The Madagascar plan was enthusiastically accepted by the RSHA, which in the opinion of the Foreign Office is the agency, which alone is in the position technically and by experience, to carry out a Jewish evacuation on a large scale, and to guarantee the supervision of the people evacuated. The competent agency of the RSHA thereupon worked out a plan, going into detail for the evacuation of the Jews to Madagascar, and for their settlement there. This plan was approved by the Reichsfuhrer SS. SS Lieutenant General Heydrich submitted this plan directly to the Reich Foreign Minister in August 1940, compare D3-2171. The Madagascar plan in fact had been outdated as the result of the political development. The fact that the Führer intends to evacuate all Jews from Europe was communicated to me as early as August 1940 by Ambassador Abetz, after an interview with the Führer, compare D3-2298. Hence, the basic instruction of the Reich Foreign Minister, to promote the evacuation of the Jews in closest cooperation with the agencies of the Reichsfuhrer SS, is still in force and will therefore be observed by D3. 3. The administration of the occupied territories brought with it the problem of the treatment of Jews living in these territories. First, the military commander in France saw himself compelled as the first one, to issue on September 27, 1940 a decree on the treatment of the Jews in occupied France. The decree was issued with the agreement of the German embassy in Paris. The pertinent instruction was issued directly by the Reich Foreign Minister to Ambassador Abetz, on the occasion of a verbal report. After the pattern of the Paris decree, similar decrees have been issued in the Netherlands and Belgium. As these decrees, in the same way as German laws concerning Jews, formally embrace all Jews independent of their citizenship, objections were made by foreign powers, among others protest notes by the Embassy of the United States of America, although the military commander in France, through internal regulation, had ordered that the Jewish measures should not be applied to the citizens of neutral countries. The Reich Foreign Minister has decided in the case of the American protests that he does not consider it right to have military regulations issued for making an exception of the American Jews. It would be a mistake to reject objections of friendly states, Spain and Hungary, and on the other hand to show weakness toward the Americans. The Reich Foreign Minister considers it necessary to make these instructions to the field commanders retroactive, compare D3-5449. In accordance with this direction, the Jewish measures have been given general application. 4. In his letter of June 24, 1940, Paul 12:136, SS Lieutenant General Heydrich informed the Reich Foreign Minister that the whole problem of the approximately 3.25 million Jews in the areas under German control can no longer be solved by emigration. A territorial final solution would be necessary. In recognition of this, Reich Marshal Goering on July 31, 1941, commissioned SS Lieutenant General Heydrich to make, in conjunction with the interested German control agencies, all necessary preparations for a total solution of the Jewish problem in the German sphere of influence in Europe, compare D3709 secret. On the basis of this instruction, SS Lieutenant General Heydrich arranged a conference of all the interested German agencies for January 20, 1942, at which the state secretaries were present from the other ministries, and I myself from the Foreign Office. In the conference, General Heydrich explained that Reich Marshal Goering's assignment to him had been made on the Führer's instruction, and that the Führer, instead of the emigration, had now authorized the evacuation of the Jews to the east as the solution, compare page 5 of the enclosure to D32942 secret. State Secretary Weizsäcker had been informed on the conference. For the time being, the Reich Foreign Minister had not been informed on the conference, because SS Lieutenant General Heydrich agreed to holding a new conference in the near future, in which more details of the total solution should be discussed. This conference has never taken place due to Lieutenant General Heydrich's appointment as acting Reich Protector of Bohemia and Moravia, and due to his death. In the conference on January 20, 1942, I demanded that all questions concerned with countries outside Germany must first have the agreement of the Foreign Office, a demand to which SS Lieutenant General Heydrich agreed, and also has faithfully complied with, as in fact, the office of the RSHA handling Jewish matters had, from the beginning, carried out all measures in frictionless cooperation with the Foreign Office. The RSHA has in this matter proceeded indeed almost overcautiously. 5. On the basis of the Führer's instruction mentioned under 4, above, the evacuation of the Jews from Germany was begun. It was urged that at the same time these Jews should also be taken, who were nationals of the countries which had also undertaken Jewish measures. The RSHA accordingly made an inquiry of the Foreign Office. For reasons of courtesy, inquiry was made by way of the German legations in Bratislava, Slovakia, Zagreb, Croatia, and Bucharest, Romania, to the governments there, as to whether they wanted to recall their Jews from Germany in due time, or to agree to their deportation to the ghettos in the East. To the issuance of this instruction, agreement was given before dispatch by the State Secretary, the Under State Secretary in charge of the Political Division, the Director of the Division for Economic Policy and the Director of the Legal Division, compare D3336 secret. The German legation in Bucharest reports with reference to D3602 secret, that the Romanian government would leave it to the Reich government to deport their Jews, along with the German Jews, to the ghettos in the East. They are not interested in having the Romanian Jews return to Romania. The legation in Zagreb has informed us that the Croat government expresses gratitude for the gesture of the German government, but it would appreciate the deportation of its Jews to the East, compare D3624 secret. The legation in Bratislava reported with reference to D3661 secret, that the Slovak government is fundamentally in agreement with the deportation to the eastern ghettos. But the Slovak claims to the property of the Jews should not be endangered. The wire reports have also been submitted, as customary, to the Reich Foreign Minister's Bureau. On the basis of the reports of the ministers, I have informed the RSHA with reference to D3661 secret, that the Jews of Romanian, Croat and Slovak nationality could also be deported, their property should be blocked. The Director of the Political Division, Section 4 of the Political Division, Section 9 of the Legal Division and Section 4 of the Division for the Economic Policy have co-signed the document. Accordingly, the deportations of the Jews from the occupied territories was undertaken. 6. The number of Jews deported in this way to the East did not suffice to cover the labor needs there. The RSHA therefore, acting on the instruction of the Reichsfuhrer SS, approached the Foreign Office to ask the Slovak government to make 20,000 young strong Slovak Jews from Slovakia available for deportation to the East. The German legation in Bratislava was provided, by D3874, with proper instruction. The instruction was signed by the State Secretary, the Under State Secretary in charge of the Political Division, and Section 4 of the Political Division. The legation in Bratislava reported re D3102 that the Slovak government has taken up the suggestion eagerly, the preparatory work could be begun. Following up this pleased concurrence of the Slovak government, the Reichsfuhrer SS proposed that the rest of the Slovak Jews also be deported to the East, and Slovakia thereby be made free of Jews. The legation was, re D3559-2, provided with proper instruction. The draft of the instruction was signed by the State Secretary, After its dispatch, it was submitted for their information to the Bureau of the Reich Foreign Minister and the Understate Secretary in charge of the political division. As the Slovak Episcopacy meanwhile raised objections to the deportation of the Jews before the Slovak government, the instruction carries the express statement that in no case must there develop internal political difficulties on account of the evacuation of the Jews in Slovakia. By the telegraphic report, Re D3 2006, the legation reported that the Slovak government, without any German pressure, has declared itself agreeable to the deportation of all Jews, and that the state president agreed personally to the deportation. The telegraphic report was submitted to the Bureau of the Reich Foreign Minister. The Slovak government had furthermore agreed that it will pay as a contribution to the cost entailed 500 Reichsmarks for every evacuated Jew. In the meantime, 52,000 Jews have been removed from Slovakia. Due to church influences and the corruption of individual officials, 35,000 Jews have received a special legitimation. However, Minister President Tuka wants the Jewish removal continued, and therefore has asked for support through diplomatic pressure by the Reich, compare D3 3865. The ambassador is authorized to give this diplomatic help, in that he may state to State President Dr. Tiso that the exclusion of the 35,000 Jews is a surprise in Germany, the more so since the cooperation of Slovakia up to now in the Jewish problem has been highly appreciated here. This instruction has been co-signed by the Understate Secretary in charge of the political division, and the State Secretary. 7. The Croat government is likewise fundamentally agreeable to the removal of the Jews from Croatia. It especially considers the deportation of the 4 to 5,000 Jews from the Italian-occupied second zone, centered around Dubrovnik and Mostar, to be important, as they represent a political burden, and their elimination would serve the general pacification. The removal can of course take place only with German aid, as difficulties are to be expected from the Italian side. There have been practical examples of resistance to the Croat measures by Italian officials on behalf of well-to-do Jews. Furthermore, the Italian chief of staff in Mostar has said that he cannot approve the removal, since all the people living in Mostar have been assured of the same treatment. Since meanwhile, according to a telephone communication from Zagreb, the Croat government has given its written approval of the proposed measure, Minister Kasha thinks it right to begin with the removal, and in fact to begin for the whole country. One could therefore take the risk of having difficulties develop in the course of the action, so far as concerns the zone occupied by Italians. A report for the Reich Foreign Minister to this effect, D3 562 secret, has been held up by State Secretary von Weizsäcker, since he considered an inquiry should first be made at the embassy in Rome. The answer has not been received. The problem of the Italian Jews has come up in the same way in connection with the evacuation of the Jews in France. Ambassador Abetz points out, in connection with the deportation and preparation from the occupied French territory, that there was an urgent political interest to take the foreign Jews first in the evacuation measures. Since these Jews were regarded as foreign bodies, they were already especially hated, and passing them over and giving them thereby a quasi-privileging, would cause bad feeling, the more so since among them were to be found responsible instigators of Jewish terror and sabotage acts. It was regrettable that the Axis appeared exactly in this point to pursue no uniform policy. If the evacuation of the foreign Jews were not immediately possible, the Italian government should be for the time being asked to repatriate their Jews from France. On the Italian side, economic interests appear to play a decisive role. The safeguarding of these interests, however, is entirely possible, so that on this point, there needs to be no obstacle to the planned solution. On this question of the Italian Jews in France, a conference record of July 24, Re D3 562 secret, has been submitted to the Reich Foreign Minister. 8. On the occasion of a reception by the Reich Foreign Minister on November 26, 1941, the Bulgarian Foreign Minister Popov touched on the problem of according like treatment to the Jews of European nationalities, and pointed out the difficulties that the Bulgarians had in the application of their Jewish laws to Jews of foreign nationality. The Reich Foreign Minister answered that he thought this question brought up by Mr. Popov not uninteresting. Even now he could say one thing to him, that at the end of this war, all Jews would have to leave Europe. This was an unalterable decision of the Führer, and also the only way to master this problem, as only a global and comprehensive solution could be applied, and individual measures would not help very much. Furthermore, one should not attribute too much worth to the protests on behalf of the Jews of foreign nationality. At any rate, we would not let ourselves be taken in any further, by such protests from the American side. He, the Reich Foreign Minister, would have the problem described by Mr. Popov investigated by the Foreign Office. The Reich Foreign Minister commissioned me to undertake the investigation promised, compare D3-660G, document NG-4669. I should like to make reference to my basic conference memorandum of December 4, 1941, read D3660 secret, which I am dispatching, together with the proper files. This conference memorandum was held up by the State Secretary, because he considered a further examination by the legal division first necessary. In their opinion, the German-Bulgarian Trade and Shipping Pact was not in agreement with the German-Bulgarian arrangements proposed by me. I therefore notified the German legation in Sofia, read D3497 secret, under the date of June 19, in reference to the suggestion of the Bulgarian Foreign Minister Popov at his reception, to contact the Bulgarian government, and find out whether it was prepared to come to an agreement in the Jewish problem, that there should be no rights from the Trade and Shipping Pact given effect, in favor of the Jews and the promise of reciprocality. If the question is put from the Bulgarian side as to whether Germany is ready to deport Jews from Bulgaria to the east, the question should be answered in the affirmative, but in respect to the time of the departing, should be answered evasively. This decree was co-signed by the State Secretary, the Under-State Secretary, the Director of the Political Division, the Director of the Division for Economic Policy, Section 4 of the Political Division, Section 4 of the Division for Economic Policy, and also by Ribbentrop. The legation exchanged notes with the Bulgarian government, and reported that the Bulgarian government is fundamentally prepared in the problem of the evacuation, to sign an agreement with us. Thereby the basis is given to include the Bulgarian Jews in the Jewish measures. D3559 secret and 569 secret. 9. The Hungarian government has not yet been approached with respect to the Jewish removal, because the status of the Hungarian legislation up to the present does not promise a sufficient success. 10. In accordance with the agreement of the Romanian government mentioned under 8, the evacuation of the Romanian Jews from Germany and the occupied territories was begun, whereupon various Romanian consulates and the Romanian minister in Berlin, who had no instructions from their government, intervened. Ambassador von Killinger was therefore asked for clarification. The legation seems to have made use of the Jewish advisor assigned to it, Richter, for this purpose. He is a person to whom the Romanian government confirmed its earlier agreement to the inclusion of the Romanian Jews in the German measures, and to whom the Deputy Ministry President Mihai Antonescu informed of the request of the Marshal, that the German agencies should also carry out the removal from Romania itself, and should be then immediately with the transport of the Jews from the areas Arad, Timisoara, and Turda. For details may I refer to my conference memorandum of August 17 as D3649. 11. At the request of the governments concerned, the legations in Bratislava, Zagreb and Bucharest have been assigned advisors for Jewish affairs. They have been made available at the request of the Foreign Office by the RSHA. Their assignment is for a limited time. It ends as soon as the Jewish problem in the country concerned can be regarded as solved in the German sense. Originally, it was regarded as solved as soon as the country concerned has issued Jewish laws similar to the German ones. Accordingly, Richter was recalled from Romania last year by the RSHA. At the urgent request of the legation in Bucharest, Richter was again assigned to the legation despite the objection of the RSHA. This was done with the express intention of having him remain there, until the actual final solution in Romania, D3-1703 secret and 1893 secret. Since all negotiations with the Romanian government went through the Foreign Office, the report of SS First Lieutenant Richter submitted by the Reichsführer SS should be considered only as an internal work report to the RSHA. The unusual procedure of having the confirmation of a final conference in the handwriting of the Deputy Minister President was sharply objected to immediately through the directive of the 17th of this month. The official handling of the affair must be carried out immediately. The files have been submitted there already under D3659 secret. The intended deportations are a further step forward on the way of the total solution, and are in respect to other countries, Hungary, very important. The deportation to the government general is a temporary measure. The Jews will be moved on further to the occupied eastern territories, as soon as the technical conditions for it are given. I therefore request approval for the continuation of the negotiations and measures under these terms and according to the arrangement made. Signed, Luther. Unquote. The material starting with the words, if the question is put from the Bulgarian side, and ending with the words, the files have been submitted there already under D3659 secret, is deleted in NMT Volume 13. In Section 4, the date of June 24, 1940, for document Paul 12136 appears, from the context, to be an error, it should be 1941. This is not a solitary document. Not only is it a summary of a certain number of documents spelling out the Jewish policies of the German government, but all documents bearing on Jewish policies, except for those we have identified as forgeries, fall within the scheme implied by it. The final solution meant the expulsion of all Jews from the German sphere of influence in Europe. After the invasion of Russia, its specific meaning was the resettlement of these Jews in the East. The German documents at every level, among those that have survived, express this unambiguously, a fact which is conceded even by the bearers of the extermination legend, who are forced to declare that this must just be code terminology for extermination. Actually, in the discussions prior to this chapter, we have had several occasions to refer to this program of resettlement to the East. Its most important expression has been in the Red Cross excerpt which, despite its ambiguous remarks about extermination, presents a picture in rather close accord with the story told by NG 2586J. At Theresienstadt, the Red Cross wondered if the place, quote, was being used as a transit camp, and asked when the last departures for the East had taken place, unquote. In Slovakia, the Jews had been subject to, quote, forced immigration towards the territories under German control, unquote. A large number of Romanian Jews had been resettled in the East, but things did not work out, and many returned, although there had been adequate opportunity to exterminate them, if such had been the policy. Despite the several vague and ambiguous remarks about extermination, which we noted in Chapter 5, page 194, the undeniable effect of the Red Cross report is to confirm that the Germans were doing what their documents say they were doing. The German documents are not only confirmed by neutral authority, we have seen that they are even confirmed by hostile sources. In Chapter 4, page 152, we discuss the Theresienstadt Jews sent to Auschwitz, as related by the WRB report. The manner of their treatment makes sense only if Birkenau was serving as a transit camp for them. Moreover, the Israeli source cited on page 153 reported that Theresienstadt Jews were, indeed, being sent to the East. Thus, even hostile sources report that the Germans were doing what their documents say they were doing. What is described in NG 2586J is the program as it existed starting in early 1939. Actually, on account of the pressures against the Jews between 1933 and 1939, the great majority of German-Austrian Jews had emigrated before the outbreak of the war. The Germans had not cared very much where the Jews emigrated to. Palestine seemed a good possibility on account of the British Balfour Declaration of 1917, but negotiations with the British on this did not go very well, because the British wished to maintain good relations with the Arabs who, at that time, constituted the bulk of the population of Palestine. Nevertheless, there was some steady Jewish emigration from Europe to Palestine, but this was finally cut to a trickle by the policy announced by the British White Paper of May 1939. The Madagascar project, fantastic as it seems today, was taken quite seriously by the Germans, although nothing ever came of it. The war with Russia, which started in June 1941, opened up obvious new resettlement possibilities, and this resulted in Goering's famous letter to Heydrich regarding the quote-unquote final solution of the Jewish question, dated July 31, 1941, quote, as supplement to the task that was entrusted to you in the decree dated January 24, 1939, namely to solve the Jewish question by emigration and evacuation in a way which is the most favorable in connection with the conditions prevailing at the time, I herewith commission you to carry out all preparations with regard to organizational, factual, and financial viewpoints for a total solution of the Jewish question in those territories in Europe under German influence. If the competency of other central organizations is touched in this connection, these organizations are to participate. I further commission you to submit to me as soon as possible a draft showing the organizational, factual, and financial measures already taken for the execution of the intended final solution of the Jewish question, unquote. It is customary to quote this letter with deletion of the reference to emigration and evacuation. The planned Jewish emigration to the eastern territories of not only the German Jews but also the Jews in the, quote, territories in Europe under German influence, unquote, was a relatively extensive project, and so, in accord with Goering's reference to the, quote, competency of other central organizations, unquote, Heydrich called a special conference, the Wannsee Conference, which was finally held on January 20, 1942. Representatives of several branches of the German government attended the conference. Eichmann was the next to lowest ranked person at the conference. The minutes of the conference, NG 2586G, are lengthy, but the heart of the project was expressed as follows, quote, meanwhile, in view of the dangers of an emigration during the war and in view of the possibilities in the East, the Reichsfuhrer SS and the chief of the German police had forbidden the emigrating of the Jews. The emigration program has now been replaced by the evacuation of the Jews to the East as a further solution possibility, in accordance with previous authorization by the Führer. These actions are of course to be regarded only as a temporary substitute. Nonetheless, here already the solution of the Jewish problem is of great importance. Under proper direction the Jews should now in the course of the final solution, be brought to the East in a suitable way for use as labor. In big labor gangs, with separation of the sexes, the Jews capable of work are brought to these areas and employed in road building, in which task undoubtedly a great part will fall out through natural diminution. The remnant that finally is able to survive all this, since this is undoubtedly the part with the strongest resistance, must be given treatment accordingly, since these people, representing a natural selection, are to be regarded as the germ cell of a new Jewish development, if they are allowed to go free. See the experience of history. In the program of the practical execution of the final solution, Europe is combed through from the west to the east. The Reich area, including the protectorate of Bohemia and Moravia, will have to be taken in advance, alone for reasons of the housing problem and other social-political necessities. The evacuated Jews are brought first group by group into the so-called transit ghettos, in order from there out, to be transported farther to the east. An important provision for the whole execution of the evacuation, so SS General Heydrich explained further, is the exact establishment of the category of persons who are to be included. It is intended not to evacuate Jews over 65 years of age, but to remove them to a ghetto for the aged, Theresienstadt is under consideration. Along with these old age classes, of the perhaps 280,000 Jews who on October 31, 1941 were in the Old Reich and in Austria, perhaps 30% are over 65 years old, they will also be taken to the ghettos for the aged, the Jews who are serious war wounded cases, and Jews with war decorations, Iron Cross, First Class. With this appropriate solution, the many potentials for exceptions will be eliminated with one blow. In connection with the problem of the effect of the Jewish evacuation on the economic life, State Secretary Neumann stated that the Jews employed in war important industries could not be evacuated for the present, as long as there were no replacements available. SS General Heydrich pointed out that these Jews, in accordance with the directive approved by him for the execution of the current evacuations, would not be evacuated. State Secretary Dr. Buhler states that the Government General would welcome the initiation of the final solution of this problem in the Government General, because here, for once, the transport problem plays no out of the ordinary role, and here labor commitment considerations would not hinder the course of this action. Furthermore, of the approximately 2.5 million Jews here in question, the majority of cases were unfit for work. He had only one request, that the Jewish problem in this territory be solved as quickly as possible, unquote. Here is unambiguous documentary evidence that no extermination program existed. The German policy was to evacuate the Jews to the east. It did not, moreover, require the capture of German documents to expose this fact. It was well known during the war and, during the resettlement program's early states, it was reported and commented on countless times in the Allied press. In the case of Vienna Jews deported to Poland in early 1941, the New York Times even remarked that they, quote, found their new homes much more comfortable than they expected or even dare hope, unquote. Later reports on the resettlement program did not describe it so favorably, but the press at least reported approximately what was going on. Rota, incidentally, had taken the position that the Wannsee Conference is itself a propaganda myth. His principal reason for this is his belief, for which he presents respectable evidence, that Heydrich was in Prague on January 20, 1942. However, the date attributed to the conference, and the document said to be the minutes of the conference, are so consistent with everything else that is known about the German policy, that we believe that Rota is mistaken on this point. The only factual aspect of the program of evacuation to the east, which is generally consistent with the extermination claims, is that many Jews sent to the camps in Poland did not return, at least not to their former homes. This, apparently, had been the reason why many people, with more or less first-hand information about certain individuals, have accepted the extermination claims. However, the situation is basically simple. These camps were obviously serving as transit camps for the program of evacuation to the east. We have observed that at Birkenau there was a special compound that served as a transit camp for Theresienstadt Jews, and that Dutch Jews also passed through Auschwitz, Chapter 4, page 152. The concentration camp at Lublin also played this incidental role on occasion. Treblinka, which was a labor camp but does not appear to have been administered by the WVHA, clearly served also as a transit camp, especially for Warsaw Jews. As with Auschwitz, Reitlinger finds the alleged facts put forward concerning gassings at Treblinka difficult to reconcile with one another. Sobibor was explicitly called a transit camp. It may astonish the reader that the documents we have reviewed, which constitute very strong evidence that no extermination program existed, are not passed over in silence by the bearers of the extermination legend, but are thrust boldly into our faces as evidence that an extermination program did exist. Not only is this the implicit idea conveyed by the collection of documents in NMT Volume 13, Reitlinger and Hilberg are quite serious in considering these documents relevant to an extermination program. Thus, the evacuation to the east is claimed as a code term for extermination. on account of the fact that a fixed feature of the extermination legend is that one of the tasks of the Einsatzgruppen in Russia was the extermination of the Jews. The bearers of the legend are committed to the view that the policy of extermination had been settled on by the summer of 1941. Thus, although Göring's letter of July 31, 1941 to Heydrich specifically states that the final solution is a program of emigration and evacuation, and although it makes specific reference to the program which existed from 1939, which both Reitlinger and Hilberg concede was an emigration program, both authors must and do take the position that this was really an extermination order. They are apparently not bothered by the fact, noted by them, that deportations of Reich Jews to Russia and the Baltic states had started in the autumn of 1941. Continuing to keep faith with their fundamental commitment, the Wannsee Conference of January 1942 is also interpreted as a veiled discussion of extermination, although the evacuation program, of which the minutes of the conference speak, was in fact in progress. Both authors lay stress on the reference to the, quote, remnant that finally is able to survive all this, unquote, and are to be, quote, given treatment accordingly, unquote. This passage could mean any number of things. The version of the Wannsee Conference minutes that is printed in NMT Volume 13, incidentally, has the phrase, if they are allowed to go free, deleted by the editors. This suggests that the editors may have interpreted the passage as a recommendation that the remnant should be allowed to go free. In commenting on the Wannsee Conference minutes, Reitlinger remarks that, quote, Heydrich was discreet enough not to mention the rest, unquote, and that, quote, the drafting of circumspect minutes was one of the major arts of Hitler's Reich, unquote. Hilberg resolves the lack of clarity of meaning of some of the passages, from his point of view, by remarking that, quote, we know from the language of the Einsatzgruppen reports that he meant killing, unquote. This amounts to making the extraordinary claim that Hitler's Reich was quote-unquote circumspect regarding the language used in the minutes of secret conferences, but not circumspect regarding the language used in the widely distributed Einsatzgruppen reports. In any case, these passages in what is said to be the minutes of the Wannsee Conference are the only passages in the documents describing German-Jewish policy for which a sinister interpretation is possible, although many interpretations are possible. The excessively strained interpretations of these documents are factors, added to the several discussed in Chapter 4, which forced Reitlinger to declare that Hus must have really meant the summer of 1942 as the date of receiving his extermination orders from Himmler. Reitlinger and Hilberg both assume that the deportations to the east were for the purpose of killing the Jews there, in one way or another, and that the gas chambers in Poland were established in mid-1942 as a change in the method of killing. We have seen that this theory does not harmonize with the dates associated with the planning of, and preliminary work on the Auschwitz crematories, that are supposed to have been designed for the exterminations. Thus, the claim that the documents should be interpreted as meaning other than what they say, leads one into irresolvable contradictions and difficulties, but such would also be the result, if comparable practices were applied to the interpretation of recipes, road signs, mathematical formulae, etc. There is no point in discussing further these efforts to make these documents mean other than what they say. The German policy, the final solution, was to resettle Jews in the occupied territories in the East. This is what their documents say, and the program spoken of in these documents is confirmed by neutral sources and even, to a significant extent, by hostile sources. By way of additional confirmation, it is worth mentioning passages by Grazel in his History. In one paragraph he says that the Germans were doing what their documents say they were doing, quote, they followed this up with wholesale deportations. They set aside a number of places in Eastern Europe in which they concentrated Jews from other lands, in line with the avowed Nazi policy of freeing all of Europe from Jewish influence, unquote. In the next paragraph, Grazel contradicts this statement by saying that the Germans were doing what the Allied propaganda said they were doing. Exterminations, gas chambers, etc. Grazel makes no attempt to resolve the contradiction. It may be wondered why the authors of the hoax have presented us with documents which describe, in very general terms, what the German policy was. The hoaxers were confronted with A, the fact that Europeans were told by the Germans, at the time of the deportations, that the Jews were to be resettled and, B, the fact that the resettlement program had been reported in the Allied press and, C, the fact that, in regard to the documents, it was necessary to make a choice among three possibilities, presenting no high-level documents dealing with the Jewish policy, presenting forged high-level documents dealing with the policy, and presenting selected high-level documents dealing with the policy. Under the circumstances, the third of the three possibilities was obviously to be preferred. It was clearly better to present a genuine document, signed by Göring and speaking of the final solution of the Jewish question, than to present a forged document or no document. Although the final solution is specified as emigration and evacuation, it was considered not possible to avoid the fact that the Nazis described their program in such terms. Thus, today the bearers of the extermination legend merely claim that all of this was code terminology. One must not pass over the important work of R.L. Cole, who is that strange bird, a professional academic historian writing in or near a field completely dominated by non-historians. The main value of Cole's work is in putting Poland into proper focus and perspective. During the war years, Germany undertook to change the composition of the populations near its eastern borders. The main instrument of this program was the RU-SHA, Rasse und Siedlungshauptamt, Race and Settlement Main Office, of the SS. The basic policy was to move selected Reich Germans and ethnic German communities of Eastern Europe, Volksdeutsche, into the conquered territories contiguous to Germany. Jews and Poles were expelled from these areas and sent to various places, in some cases to the farms the ethnic Germans had vacated, to special Eastern ghettos, and also to certain special quote-unquote Z villages in Poland. Cole explicitly endorses the reality of the extermination program, but his account of it is most peculiar, quote, "The official version insisted that the Jews were going to be moved further east into conquered Soviet territory to remove them more effectively from the German sphere of life. Like many other German pronouncements, this one contained several grains of truth. 1. Trainloads of Jews from the Reich were sent as far east as possible for liquidation, often at the hands of non-Germans such as the Ukrainians or the Baltic peoples. 2. The Poles were, in Rosenberg's early plans as Minister for the East, to be considered for resettlement in the Soviet area, Smolensk, thus freeing the general government for German settlement," unquote. Cole does not provide any evidence for the killings by Ukrainians or the Baltic peoples. The sources cited at this point make no such claims. Then in referring to the extermination camps, quote, "In the fall and winter of 1941-1942, the last 240,000 Jews of the annexed provinces were removed to the newly constructed extermination camps at Kolo, Belzec, Majdanek, and Sobibor," unquote. The list excludes Auschwitz, which comes up in Cole's book only in a remark about some Germans sent there for punishment, in connection with Auxion Reinhardt, to be explained below, and also in the following, quote, "Dr. Klukowski stated that of 691 villages in the county of Zamek, 297 were wholly or partly evacuated by July 1943. He estimated that 110,000 Poles and Jews were removed from the area, males and females of working age going to forced labor in the Auschwitz hydrogenation plant, the rest going to the other 394 Z villages," unquote. One may draw one's own conclusions. Cole's book is recommended to the reader who wishes a detailed view of Nazi population policies, especially in their relations to German nationalism, Nazi racial ideology, and internal Nazi party politics.